Shiras Masechta Pesachim, Daf Pei Tes, and we will begin on Daf Pei Ches on the base, five lines from the bottom. In the previous Gemara, we had learned about a case where five Karbon Pesachs were brought, and after they were brought, it was discovered that one of them was a Baal Mum. However, we don't know which of the five carbonites that was discovered to be a Baal Mum belonged to whom. That person was not Yoytze the Mitzvah Karban Pesach, and that the other people were. So the Gemara said that there is no option to bring a Pesach Sheni for these people. And the Gemara tries to understand, as we begin now, why. Amamar, we learned, well, Betur Melasas Pesach Sheni, on this circumstance, they don't bring a Pesach Sheni. Ask the Gemara, why not? Isn't there one person who is not Mekayim the Mitzvah, so he should have to bring another carbon? Answers the Gemara, Meshim Delay Efshar. Truthfully, this person should bring another Karban Pesach. However, we have no way of accomplishing this. Because Heichi Levit, exactly what should we do? Leisi Kol Chad V'Chad Pesach, should every one of these individuals have to bring another Karban Pesach? That isn't an option. Because Kamaisi Chulin La'Zoro, it will come out that Chulin, animals that don't belong, animals that are not Karbonos, are being brought to Azoro. Four of them did bring a proper Karban Pesach. So those four individuals have no need to bring another carbon. Their carbon that they're bringing is chulin. On the other hand, Laisi Kula Chad Pesach, should all five of these people join together in bringing one carbon? Nimtza Pesach Nechel Shloil Menuyav. As we've learned and will continue to learn, a Karban Pesach must be you have to register yourself for Karban Pesach. A person who can't or shouldn't be a Karban Pesach can't register for Karban Pesach. These people, four of them already brought the Karban. If they brought the Karban and now they re-register for it, their registration is invalid, and that would disqualify the Karban. And as the Rishonim explain, the problem is not that the people eating the carbon have to be registered. Eating the carbon is not limited to people who are registered. However, the carbon can only, the Karban Pesach has to be registered, and only people who are mechuyev in the carbon could register for the carbon. So, continues the Gemara. Hi, Mike. Why is this an irreversible situation? Why is there no Eitzah? Why can't we do the following? Let every one of them bring an independent Karban Pesach. He should make the following condition. If my Karban was the Karban which was the Baal Mum, the one I'm bringing now, the Heavy Pesach, should be considered the Karban Pesach, and I will be Mekayim the Mitzvah with this Karban. If, on the other hand, if my Karban was the not Baal Mum, and therefore this Karban, I'm not obligated to bring another Karban Pesach, the Karban I'm bringing now should be a Karban Shlomim. Why can't they do that? So the Mefarshim ask a few obvious questions. Tosfos in Masechta Yuma asks that we've learned that the own carbon that may be brought after the carbon Tamid Shabbeinu Abayim is the carbon Pesach. So here, if it's a carbon Pesach, fine that it's being brought after the carbon Tamid. But if it's a carbon Shlamim, how could a carbon Shlamim be brought after the carbon Tamid? So two truths are given. One teretz is that this halacha, that the Karban Pesach was brought after the Karban Tamid, was only said on Pesach Rishon, not on Pesach Sheni. Here, given that we're discussing Pesach Sheni, the Karban Tamid came after carbon, this carbon that's being brought, and therefore we don't have that problem. Another answer given is what could be done is as follows. They could bring the carbon tamid, then not burn the amarin, then bring this carbon, and then bring the rest of the carbon tamid. So you have the best of both worlds. You have a situation where the carbon tamid is being brought before the carbon Pesach, but because the amarin of the carbon tamid were not yet brought, it will still be the last carbon of the day. Continues the Gemara, but the Mefarshim ask another question before we continue the Gemara. We've learned that in the carbon Pesach, as we've learned many times, there's a din a batsim loisish brubai. You're not allowed to break a bone in the carbon Pesach. Every other carbon, the halacha is that every part of the carbon must be eaten, not to leave nicer. So now let's try to analyze the situation. If it's a carbon Pesach, I'm not allowed to break the bone. If it's a carbon Shlomo, I must break the bone that has marrow on it, that to be able to get to that marrow, not to have nicer. So how could I make this tonight? So a few answers are given. The base Yitzchak answers that since we're dealing with such a small amount of meat, it's only the marrow and the bones, that's not called leaving over meat that it should turn into nicer. Another answer that's given is that we've learned earlier that really there is a way to extract the marrow without breaking the bone, as we learned, by making a fire and making a hole and extracting the marrow. The Gemara said we don't want to do that because by doing that we may break the bone. However, here when we're faced with this dilemma, here Chazal will not make the gzeira that we can't make a hole of fire, or can't make a fire in a hole to extract the marrow, and we'll be able to extract the marrow from this carbon and not have any problem. The Chazon Ish gives a different answer. He says, we learned earlier that according to Rebbe, there is a window during the day when the bones may be broken. Because since Rebbe learned that the requirement is royal achila, the only time you're not allowed to break a bone is when the animal could be, when the carbon could be eaten. So from the time after the carbon is brought till the night when the carbon is eaten, we have this window when we could break bones. So that would be the time when we would break bones and extract the marrow and not have any problem. We could eat it. If it's Karim Pesach, fine. If it's Karim Shlomim, fine. Says the Gemara, Loi Efshar. This is not an option. Why? Mishim de'ikah chazak v'shaik. We know that from a Karim Shlomim, the chazak and shaik, the breast and the thigh bone, have to be given to the kayin. The kahanim hudachilei. So now, if I'm going to eat the whole carbon, then I will have taken part that belongs to the kayin. So I'm not allowed to do that. And that's why this option doesn't work. Says the Gemara, for nice kol chad v'chad kain b'hadei. Let everybody bring along with a kain with him and give the kain the chas of a shaykh. So the Mefarshim ask, there's a fundamental problem. We've learned that the way the Karim Pesach is brought, is roasted whole. Now if we're saying that this carbon may be a Karim Pesach, but it may be a carbon shlomim. If it's a carbon shlomim, the chaz of a shaykh belongs to the kohanim. If I roast this whole animal as a whole, the chaz of a shaykh will be giving off tam, taste, into the rest of the animal. Part that the regular people are not allowed to eat, could that part belongs to the kohanim? So Mefarshim answer that is not a problem, because they say that we would roast it, even though preferably the right way to roast it is to roast the whole animal whole. It can be roasted in parts, and the way this animal would be roasted, we would roast the chaz of a shoik separate from the rest of the animal. But the Mitzvah Eisen asks another question. What are we saying? That we're going to bring this Karban Pesach and eat it. If it's a Karban Pesach, fine. If it's a Karban Shlomim, also fine, because the kohen could eat it. Ask the Mitzvah Eisen, perhaps what will happen is, this kohen is eating five of them. One is a carbon Pesach, four a carbon Shlomim. Maybe the first carbon he's eating is the carbon Pesach. he only eats the carbon shlamim after that. And we know that we say in the Haggadah, and we're going to learn the sugya, we've learned it once already, that ein maftir in achar Pesach afi koymin, that you're not allowed to eat anything after carbon Pesach. So if he's bringing carbon Pesach and carbon shlamims, he's going to be eating he may be eating shlamim after Pesach. So Mitzvah Eisen says that that halacha of ein maftirin achar Pesach afi koymin is only lechatchila, it's not b'diavad. Continues the Gemara, Hai Kohen Hechidami. We said we're going to bring along the Kohen along, and he's going to get the Chaz V'Shoik. Let's analyze what is the circumstances of this Kohen. Idavid Pesach, if this Kohen had already brought a Karim Pesach, Dilma Hai Pesachu. Perhaps what he's eating is the Karim Pesach. V'nimtza Pesach Nechel Shloilem Nuyov. So he can't register on a Karim Pesach, because he already was Mekayim the Mitzvah Karim Pesach. If on the other hand, the loy of a Pesach, this kind did not eat the Pesach, Dilma Shlomimu. Maybe the carbon that he's going to get is a carbon Shlomim for loy of a Pesach, and he will not have brought a Pesach at all. Says the Gemara, what we could do is, V'nasa Kol Chamisha Chat Koin, all five will bring one coin. The loy of a Pesach, that did not eat, bring out a carbon Pesach, V'nim loy Hani Chamisha Pesachim, will register him in all these five carbon Pesachs. The Manashach, Ikechad the loy of a Pesach. One of these carbonas is a carbon that is a carbon Pesach. He'll eat that one as a carbon Pesach, and the rest of the carbon shlomim for Karnafik Bay, and they will all be able to be yotze, and the kohen will be yotze. Says the Gemara, the reason that this is not an option is because the mamat bechil shlomim. By doing this, we will have less shlomim of time to eat the shlomim, because normally the aloch is a carbon shlomim is nechal is eaten l'shnei yomim for 2 days v'layla echad. A carbon Pesach is only eaten that night. Dila Pesach, carbon Pesach is only eaten yom v'layla. V'shlamim shnei yom v'layla echad. But since I'm going to have to treat every one of these animals, every one of these kabonas, as a possible carbon Pesach, but really only one of them is a carbon Pesach, it comes out that I'm limiting or I'm diminishing the amount of time I'm eating the carbon, because four of them are carbon shlamims, and that is not allowed to be done. Continues the Gemara, V'naisa Pesach Posa V'neima. So, as a word of introduction, we know that the halacha is that if somebody designated an animal for Karim Pesach, and then for some reason he didn't bring that animal, then the halacha is he has to bring another animal and use, and the first animal has the status of a residual of a Karim Pesach, and a residual of a Karim Pesach, the halacha is, has a din of a shlomim. So says the Gemara, and the way Rashi learns the Gemara in the Havamina is this way, and then we'll say how Tosfos learns. But Neisa Mosa Pesach, let somebody go and designate an animal as a carbon Pesach, as a Mosa Pesach, as a residual of a carbon Pesach, which is only Nechal L'Yoyim V'Layla. The name when he should say, Ida Di Balmom, if mine is a Balmom, Haida Ais Hashtin Nava Pesach, then the animal that I have now designated will be a carbon Pesach. Ida Di Tamhu, and if my animal was Tam, Nava Hai Hashtin Shlomim, it should have the status of a Moisa Pesach, the Moisa Pesach, Nechal Yevelai Lechad, which is only eaten for 1 day and 1 night. So Rashi says that I'm designating the animal, I'm making it a Tanai. Either it's a Pesach or it's a Moisa Pesach. Tosfos takes great exception to Rashi's Pshat in the Gemara, because Tosfos says you can't designate an animal as a Moisa Pesach. Moisa Pesach happens by itself. So the way Tosfos learns the Gemara is that I should take the animal and I should say that it's a carbon Pesach. And if, in truth, it isn't a carbon Pesach, because I was ready Mekayim the Mitzvah carbon Pesach, then ask the Gemara, at least at this point, that it automatically will become a Moisa Pesach. That's how Tosfos learns the Havamina. Ask the Sfas Emes, then what have we accomplished with this approach? In this approach, also ask the Sfas Emes, we're limiting the amount of time that it may be eaten, because as we're saying now, a Moisa Pesach may be at Nechel L'Yoyim V'Layla for a day and a night, and this carbon, the carbon Pesach, can only be eaten by night. So what have we accomplished, asked the Sfas Emes. So a number of answers are given to that question. One answer is that the din, that the Meiser Pesach, even though the Gemara uses the terminology Nechel L'Yoyim V'Layla, is not really Nechel L'Yoyim V'Layla. It's only eaten at the night of Pesach, the same way the Karban Pesach is only eaten at night. Another teretz that's given is that this halacha, that a Karban Pesach may only be eaten by night, was only said by Pesach Rishon. But Pesach Sheni, the Karban Pesach, may even be eaten in the afternoon. And actually, Davni Nezer says, that is the basis for a minhag that we have. We have a minhag, says the Davni Nezer, that we eat matzah on Yudalit Iyar, which is Pesach Sheni. But we don't eat it at night, which is ostensibly the time when the Karban Pesach was eaten. Rather, we eat it by day. How can we eat it by day? Just like if we're eating it to commemorate the Karban Pesach, we should eat it at night, the same time the Karban Pesach is eaten. Elamai, we see that the time to eat, that they used to eat the Karban Pesach, Sheni, was, they did not wait till the night, like Pesach Rishon. Rather, it was eaten by day. Continues the Gemara, V'chi mafrishin t'chila l'maisras. Ask the Gemara, is it possible to upfront make a carbon into Meiser? And no matter if we learn Rashi's Pshat or Tosfos' Pshat, both Pshatim work in this Gemara. You can't make Meiser. Meiser is something that becomes, that if I designated an animal, and then that animal wasn't used for carbon Pesach, it becomes a Meiser Pesach. But I can't make something upfront with a tonight that it should become Meiser Pesach. Ask Tosfos a different question. Meiser Pesach, what does it mean? That we had an animal that was going to be a Karban Pesach, and then, for some reason I didn't use it, and now I want to use it for Pesach Sheni or for a different Karban. But the halacha Tosfos says is, that if we have a Karban Pesach that lost all the individuals that registered on it, it's no longer considered a Karban Pesach. So why, ask Tosfos, can it be brought as a Karban? Shouldn't it become disqualified since there was a time that nobody was registered to it, and a Karban Pesach that nobody is registered to becomes disqualified? So Tosfos, there's two ways of answering Tosfos' question. One way is that we explain that there are two ways of something coming to Meiser Pesach. It could be a carbon or it could be money. Money, there is no point that it became disqualified for use. But says Tosfos, and this is the way the Migdash Tovid explains Tosfos, there's a difference where if I designated an animal to be a carbon Pesach, if for some reason it got lost, I didn't use it, so I can't use it for Karban Pesach, and if there was a time where nobody was registered to it, it becomes disqualified. But what would happen, says Tosfos, as the Migdash Tovid explains him, if I had an animal, I was a nervous person, and up front I designated two animals, knowing the one I'm going to use and one I'm not going to use. Since I knew all along that one of these animals is not going to be used as a carbon, there is no problem that since there was a time that nobody was registered on it, it becomes disqualified. Because up front I knew that one of these animals will never be used as a carbon, and the concern that Tosfos raises is not irrelevant. Ask the Gemara, v'netruchu v'naisa Meiser Pesach. Why don't we just tell them, yes, we can't make a Meiser Pesach, but why don't we go try to find a Meiser Pesach? Says the Gemara, l'mashum smicha. The reason this can't be done is because the halach is that a Meiser Pesach, which is a carbon shlomim, requires leaning. And Pesach, loy by smicha, doesn't require smicha on it. Vila Meiser by smicha, Meiser requires leaning on it. And as Tosfos explains, this Gemara is according to the man, the Amr, that holds that when smicha is done, it's done with the entire body, with the entire might. So if that's what's going to happen, says Tosfos, if it's a Karban Pesach where smicha is not required, you're not allowed to lean with all of your might on an animal that is kodesh. So therefore, that's not an option. Says the Gemara, Hotein a Karban Anoshim. Fine if it's a Meiser Pesach that belonged to men, because men's Karbonus requires smicha. Karban Anoshim, if it's a Karban that belonged to women, Ma'ikal Meima, the Karban Shlom of a woman is not Mechuiv and smicha. So Tosfos' question is, why don't we go search to find a Meiser Pesach that belonged to a woman? And that is no dilemma. Because what's the dilemma? If it's a Pesach, I can't do smicha. If it's a shlamim, I have to do smicha? No! On the karbonis of women, there is no chiyuv to do smicha. Ask the Rinfarshim, the Gemara said something else. If it's a carbon shlamim, nesachim must be brought along. If it's a carbon Pesach, there are no nesachim. So Rinfarshim say, if the entire issue were nesachim, we could bring the nesachim and make a t'nai. The t'nai would be, if this is a carbon Pesach, then the nesachim are just a nedava. If it's a carbon shlamim, these are the nesachim that this carbon must have. Elo, the problem is b'shematanus. The way the blood is put on the mizbeach. Dila pesach matanachas. The carbon pesach is put on only with one spritz on the mizbeach. Vila shlamim, shtayim shanarba. Shlamim is spritz two applications on the corners that are the same as, which really turn out to be four, because they go in each corner, which ends up being four. Says the Gemara, my nafkamina. Even if that's a difference between a carbon pesach and carbon shlamim, that is not ma'akif. That's not something that must be done. Because with tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, kol anitana mizbeach achitzin, all blood that's put on the mizbeach achitzin, shenoshnu mitana achis, as long as you put it one spritz, keep her. You already have the kaparo. That's good enough. Ella, Mishom, says the Gemara, the reason is, because I have the following dilemma. Dila Pesach b'shvicha. The Karm Pesach, the blood is put on the Mizbeach. Vila Shlamim, Karm Shlamim Zrika, the blood is thrown on. And that's why I don't know what it is. If it's a Shlamim or a Pesach, I don't know how to deal with that. Says the Gemara again, my nafkamina. For Tanya, Kol Hanatana b'shvicha, any carbon that the blood should be thrown on, Shenosna b'shvicha, if you actually didn't throw it, you just poured it, Yotze, you Yotze. Answers the Gemara. Aim of the Kamrinin. When was that said that you could do pouring instead of throwing and it'll be alright? The Yevid. If you did it, it's okay. B'chatchila Nami? May you do that in the first place? Certainly not. So that's why here we can't give you an Eitzah. We can't give you an option. Bring it with the Tanai because you won't know how to pour the blood. So Tosfos explains, let's understand what happens here. B'di'evit, if you pour it, it's alright. What are we saying? We don't want you to pour it, because if you pour it, it's only b'di'evit alright, na l'chatchila. And what's the price we're paying? That somebody who has to bring a Karban Pesach, which as we've learned so many times is a chiv chorus, if you don't bring a Karban Pesach, will end up not having brought a Karban Pesach. Is that any better? So Tosfos says, I prefer that the Karban Pesach, which involves a Chiv Karis, not be brought, rather than something wrong being done. And the way the Shor HaMetzion HaBalocha explains Tosfos' answer, is that if I'm going to bring the Karban Pesach, or the Karban Shlamim, whichever way you look at it, in the wrong way, people there will see it being Nikrav the wrong way. And they're going to learn that a Karban could be brought the wrong way. And that's a lesson that the Gemara says we can't afford to let happen. The Einig Yontav makes an interesting observation in this Gemara as we leave the Sugya. He says, you know, throughout Halacha there's a concept of Bittel Baroyv, that some, if you have a majority and you have a minority, the minority is Bittel, becomes nullified in the majority. The famous situation is something non-kosher falls into something kosher. If the thing that's kosher is more, it's Bittel. The question, however, is what does bittel mean? Does bittel mean that the item that fell in is nullified? It doesn't exist. Or does it really even mean more? Does it mean it attains the status of the majority? Where is the question relevant? The halach is, for example, that the threads used for tzitzis have to be made lishma. So let's say we have threads that were made shaloi lishma, that were not made properly, that fell into many threads that were made lishma. So the halacha is, we should say bittel. But does the halacha say that those threads that are made shlo lishma now have the status of lishma? Or maybe not. And if the halacha doesn't say it, then I'm still back to where I started. Says the Einig Yontif, from our Gemara we have a raya, that bittel doesn't say that the part that's nullified, the minority, attains the status of the majority. Because he says, what happened in our Gemara? One carbon, one animal that was possible, that was a balmum fell into many animals that were not a balmum. So why don't I say, says the Anigyantif, that the non kosher animal, the blemished animal, should attain the status of the roif, and then we wouldn't have the need for this entire discussion. Must be, says the Anigyantif, it's nullified, but it doesn't attain the status of the majority, and it's still not a qualified animal as a carbon. Says the Mishnah, Haim Labanov, if somebody says to his sons, Hareni Shaychas HaPesach, Ami Shiyal Mechem Rishon Yerushalayim, I'm bringing the carbon Pesach for the first one of you that comes to Yerushalayim. Kim Shaychas HaRishon Rosh Verubay, as soon as the first one puts his head and most of his body into the city, Zoch HaBechelkoi, he gets a share in his portion, or Mezakas Echav Imai, and gets the portion of his brothers along with him. Says the Gemara, Shmamina, it seems from here, Yesh Bereira, that retroactively we can designate that who gets what. And as we've been explaining many times, this question of Bereira, we generally say by the right, so we don't say Bereira. Yet here we're saying Bereira. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan says, the Pshat in the Mishnah is entirely different. The Pshat in the Mishnah is Kedei Lazarz and Kama. What he was really, the Mitzvah's Kama, all he was really trying to do was encourage his children to come. And the way he encouraged them, one said, the first one that comes, he will be the one to get the shear. But not that the father did not have in mind all of the children when he made the shechita, and that all of them were certainly menuyim. Dekanami, and I'll prove to you that that's Pshat in the Mishnah, the Tani Mazaka Echav Imai, that when this first son arrives, all the children come, all the other brothers come along with him. It will say Pshat in the Mishnah, that when the father shechted the Karban Pesach, he had in mind all of his children. Shaper, that's what the Mishnah works well. He had in mind all of his children. He said the first brother that comes along, he'll get the share, and everybody comes along with him. If we're going to say that he didn't have in mind anybody, and he's saying when the first son comes in, that's when retroactively he gets a share. It's already after the Shechita. As we will soon learn, after the Shechita, it's too late to register. But you could only register before the Shechita. From here we see that the Mishnah is speaking that really the father registered all the sons. And this was just a statement he made in order to encourage them to come quickly to Yerushalayim. And Tanya Namihachi, we learn in the Braisa similarly that that's Pshat in the Mishnah. Mice of a kidmu bonus labonim. There was once a situation where the father made this type of a statement, and the daughters came before the son. The nymphs of bonus reason of bonus shvelim. And what they said was the daughters were found to be full of energy, and the sons were lazy. So the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara is, the daughters were energetic, and the sons were lazy. But everybody was yoitza the carbon. Why was everybody yoitza the carbon? To teach us, because the father really registered everyone. Says the Ritva, so what is the Mishnah teaching us? Says the Ritva, the Mishnah is teaching us exactly this. That when the father makes this kind of statement, don't think that the pshat in the statement is that he's only registering them when they come to Yerushalayim. And now we have a problem that the registration is taking place after the Shechita. It means, as the Gemara taught us, that it only means to encourage them to come quickly. Teaches us the Mishnah. Loyalim Nimnalov, people could always register to Karban Pesach, Achyeh beKazayis Kolech Vechad, as long as there's a Kazayis for every one of the registrants. Nimnu Moshchin Shadayim, you could register, or you could withdraw your registration, Mimenu from the Karban Pesach, Achyeh Shachar, until the Shechita. Afterwards, according to Tanakam, it's too late. Shimon Omer, if Shimon says, Achi Yizrik is Adam, you could withdraw till the Zrika. Says the Gemara, Michael Mashlon, what's the Mishnah teaching us? That it's obvious that anybody could register for the Karban Pesach as long as I have a Kazayis of meat. Answers the Gemara, Halka Mashmon, what the Mishnah is teaching us is the Afgav the Imni Allah Chabur Zu, even though one group registered for the Karban Pesach, the entire group may withdraw, the Chayzman Nimnalov Chabur Acheres, and another group may register on it, which we will see later in Mitzvah Shem. Rabbi Yehuda holds that that's not doable, but Amishta holds that that can be done. So we learned in the Mishnah, Nimna Moshchem Yudayim, you could register or withdraw Achi Yishachet until Yishchita. And Rav Shimon says, until the Zrika. Amar Abai, so Abai says, Machloikis Limoshech. The machlokes is till when somebody could withdraw. The rabbanim sabri miyosh misah. They could only withdraw as long as the seir is a mechayus of the seir, as long as the seir is alive, till the shechita. From Shimon Tzaver, mevayos of the seir. You could only withdraw as you could withdraw as long as it's still being worked on, it's still being processed, was till the shechita. Avlimonos, to register the rehakolat sheyishachet. Even if Shimon will agree, you can only register till the shechita. Damakra, the mixas nefashot, the amount of people, father to chayso, and then it says it should be geshachten, it should be slaughtered. So we see that the registration must take place before the shechita. Tanya namihachi, nimne meshchan sidayim, imena sheyishachet. Tanakama says you have to register or withdraw before the shechita. Rav Shimon Omer, nimnin at sheyishachet. You can register until the shechita. However, meshchan at sheyishachet, you can withdraw until the zrika. Ask the Sfasemis. Obviously, the registration must take place before the shechita, because the whole purpose of the Karban Pesach is to shecht it for the people who are going to eat from it. So why did the Gemara have to bring a pasuk? So the Sfasemis says a beautiful teretz. The Sfasemis says that I would think that there is no need for actual registration. We have a klal of zochel la'adam shloi b'fonav. We could do something favorable for a person without his knowledge. So I would think that if I know somebody who didn't register for the Karban Pesach, just I'll have him in mind, and that will be adequate. That's why the Mishnah, the Gemara teaches us, it's not enough that I have in mind my friend. He has to actively register. That's what the Pasuk teaches us. Asks of Kivega that we know that Rav Shimon holds that Kol Oimed Lizrik Kizorik Tami, that anything that's going to be thrown the blood has a din that's already considered as if it was thrown. So ask this Rav Vega, according to Rav Shimon, why could you withdraw till the registration, since it's going to be Nizrak? Says Rav Shimon, has a status as if it was already Nizrak. So Rav Vega says two terutzim. One terut says that when the Gemara says you could do withdrawal, it meant till Kabbalah Saddam. But yes, once the Kabbalah Saddam was done, did Allah is call him and Lizard Kazaruk Dami, and withdrawal can no longer be done. Or another pshat that's given is where the Torah explicitly tells us that Zrika is required. Even Rav Shimon will hold that you can't say Kol Oimed Lizrik Zarek Dami, you really have to actually do the Zrika. Says the Mishnah, Hamana Imay Ach B'Chalkai, if a member of the group registers another person with him, you have a member in the group who registered in the Karban Pesach and now he brings along another person. Says the Mishnah, Rishoyim b'nei chabur alitin l'ishloi, the other members of the group are permitted to give him his portion. For who aichem ishloi, he eats his portion together with his guests that he brought along. V'neichem ishlohem, and they'll eat theirs in another place. He and his guests could be forced to eat separately from the rest of the group. Iboilu. So they ask the following shayla. B'nei chabur shal yodah shal echem em yofis. If you have a group, and one of the people in the group have nice hands. Nice hands is a euphemism. Really means it's a person that eats a lot. He's a greedy person, he eats a lot. Mash yarmeloi, may they tell him, tuk chalk chavetzei, take your portion and leave us. Mi aminin, matzo amalu, that he could tell them, hakabiltim, you accepted me into your group unconditionally, and this is who I am! I dim a matzo meimeloi, or perhaps they could tell him, Kika built in Lizakuni Zakhvicha. When we accepted you, we only did this because we didn't want that the carbon should turn into nicer. And that's why we had to make sure that enough people were registered on the carbon. Adapted the Achlas Tfeminon, but on mind that you'll eat more than the rest of us, like Kabilnach, we would have never accepted you. So the Yishalmi tells us, if they knew up front that this is a person that is greedy and eats a lot, then the entire discussion of the Gemara is not relevant. Because they knew what they're getting into. Here we're talking that they took a person into the group, not knowing who he is, and then it turned out that he was a greedy person. Toshma. So the Gemara attempts to bring a raya from our Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, Haman Acherim Imayal Chalkoi, if somebody registers other with him to share in his portion, Rishayin Bnei Chabur and Litan LaShaloi, the members of the group are permitted to give him his portion, V'uach LaShaloi, V'enach LaShalohem. He eats his portion and then the rest of the group eats theirs. My Tama, why could they tell him to leave? Labim Shem Dehavalei, Ki Yadayim Shalach Manyofis. Since this person has more than one, has invited a guest along with him. So it's like a greedy person, because they're going to be eating a lot. And we see, if you're going to say, Yod of Yofis, that a greedy person could tell them, Matsi Amalu, he could tell them, Kibalt them, you accepted me unconditionally, Nava Haiki Yod of Yofis. So our Mishnah should also be the same din. So why in the Mishnah is the Alocha they could force this guy to separate? Amriloi. Says the Gemara, you can't bring a proof from our Mishnah. They are Shani. It's different when there are more people added to the group. Because even, let's say, this person, the original member, together with his guest, would not eat more than any of the other members of the guests, still they can ask them to separate. Because we don't want extra people. And as Rashi says, the meal may take longer, extra people cause extra tircha, extra bother, and we don't want extra people. So we can't bring a proof from our Mishnah. Ask Tosfos, why didn't the Gemara give this obvious answer? In the case when we accepted the greedy person, yes, we didn't know he was greedy, but we invited him in. We have to accept him as he is. But in this case, we never invited this extra guest, so it's a fundamental difference. Says Tosfos, the reason the Gemara didn't give that teretz is because if the Gemara would have given that teretz, it would indicate that in the case of Yod of Yofos and a greedy person, we certainly can't separate him. And the Gemara is not prepared to accept that psak. So that's why the Gemara gave a different teretz. So Tashma, the Gemara gives another answer. Hashamish achal kazayis possible tzaratanar. If the waiter ate a kazayis, the waiter is a member of the group, and he eats a kazayis next to the oven. That's the place where he eats his meal. And as we've learned earlier, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a person cannot eat the Korban Pesach in two different places. If he's a smart person, he fills up his stomach with it, because he's not allowed to go to another location to eat the Korban. If the other members of the group want to do him a favor, they come and sit next to him and eat the Korban Pesach where he is. Dir Rabbi Yehuda. Now what does we see in the Braisa? Rotzulin, if these people want to sit with him, be so. Loi Rotzulin Loi, but if they don't want to sit where he is, they don't have to. Ask the Gemara, but Neymalahu, why can't this waiter tell the rest of the members of the group, Hakabiltim, you made me part of your group, and since I have to eat in the oven, when you invited me into your group, you should have to sit with me next to the oven and eat the Korban Pesach? Answers the Gemara, Shani Hossam, you can't bring a proof in that case. The Amrilei, because the other members can say to him, Kika Bilna, when do we accept you as part of the group? Adata the Nitrach commanded, you should be our waiter and take care of us. Lemitrach Lolididach, that we should have to serve you, that we should have to come to where you are. Like Kabilan, that's not something that we ever agreed to, and that's why that case is a unique case, and we can't bring a proof from that case. Toshma, so the Gemara attempts a final proof. You have a group that one of them is greedy. Tell them, take your portion and leave. If five people make a party together, take your portion and leave. From here we see that if somebody is greedy, we could separate him out. What does the bride mean with saying not only this case but even the case of the party? Says the Gemara, the Peshat is like this. It goes without saying the Korban Pesach, the Matzah Armalei, that he can be told, Ki Kibelnach, when we accepted you, Latchuni Zvicha. We accepted you only that the Pesach should be rectified and should be nicer. We didn't accept you that you should be greedy and eat up the whole Korban. El Afilu Sibaylus Nami, but even by a party, the Tzav Sabamahu, which is made that people should eat together. So he could say, we're supposed to all eat together. And the fact that I'm greedy doesn't give you a right to ask me to leave. Still, the halacha is, Roshayim Lemelay could tell him, take your portion and leave. The Sfasema says, what about the reverse case? What about the case if one person is not greedy and the rest of the group is greedy? Could the one non-greedy person ask separate himself from the rest of the group? Is it only a greedy person that could be separated out, or is it even a non-greedy person that cannot, that even a non-greedy person that could separate himself out. And the Sfasema says that it seems that a non-greedy person cannot separate himself out. From our Gemara we see that a greedy person could be separated out under certain circumstances. And actually this question is relevant in a business situation also. That we accepted a person for who he is and didn't accept him for who he is. For example, if we have a group of people who are partners, and one of the partners wants to leave the business, but says, I'll still be active, I just don't want to have equity in the business. Says the Tzemach Tzedek, and the Paiskim agree with that psak, that they could tell him, we want you to be a partner. Because a person who's a partner acts differently than a person who's not a partner, and therefore, we're not satisfied just that you'll say you'll be part of the business. We want you to have equity, then you'll work differently. Then they ask, what will be the din if, let's say, we have two partners? We'll make a simple example. Each one of them has 50%. And now, one of the partners, instead of completely leaving the partnership, says, I only want a 25% business investment here. Here, it's no longer of a situation where he doesn't have equity. He has equity, he just has less. What would be the halacha? Could our partner say to him, no, we want you to have the amount of equity you had all along? Another shaila, which we could see based on our Gemara, is let's say we have two partners. One has 50% and the other partner has 50%. The second partner goes and wants to sell part of his shares in the business to somebody else. Could the first partner stop him or not? From our Gemara we see that he could certainly stop him. Just like we learned in our Mishnah, that if one of the original owners, one of the original registrants brings somebody else in, the other partners could say, we didn't ask for him, and we don't want him to be like Nichlan Inish Nochro Gabon. We don't want an outsider here. Here too, the original partners could tell the other partner, unless they made up a front differently, that we don't want an outsider here. Ikadib Amri, another version says, Halai Bailan. This question was never asked about a person who's greedy. Halachu de Bailan. The question that was asked was like this. When we have a group that's eating the Karm Pesach, could they divide up the meat, each person getting his portion separately, or do we have to eat from one communal plate? Tashma. If one of the people is greedy, take your portion and eat it separately. So we see Yod of Yafis, and only in this situation where we have a greedy person, that's when we could be separated. And Yod of Yafis loy, but if we don't have such a situation, they have to all eat the carbon together. Shema mila. Says the Gemara, Rapapa Rafuna Bered Rav Yeshua Ariva Rifti Bahadi Adati. Rapapa Rafuna Bered Yeshua ate bread together. Add the Acher of Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Chada, and the time of Huna Bered Rav Yeshua ate one portion, Acher Rapapa Abba, Rapapa ate four. Amalei, Plagli. So Rav Huna told Rapapa, I want to separate from you. Amalei, so Rapapa said to him, Kabilton, you took me in as your partner under all circumstances. Eisve Kahan Tiyufta, so the Rav Huna asked all the questions that we learned before. Vishonik Kedashninen, the first two brises, the Mishnah, the first brisa, and Rapapa answered as we answered. But then he asked him the question from the third source. B'nei Chabur, if we have a group that, and one of the members is greedy, he can be dismissed. Amalei, so Papa said to Rav Huna, Hossam, Damalei Kika Benelach, that regarding Karim Pesach, the other members in the group could tell him, Kika Benelach, when do we accept you? L'skuni Zvicha, that to rectify the carbon, it shouldn't become nicer. Eisvei, so then he asked him, Sibylus, what about the story of the party, where there isn't that concept that he was accepted just to avoid the Karm Pesach from being nicer? So that was a proof that he could separate himself. Palaglei, so Rav Papa was separated from Rav Huna. And the Paiskim say that although Rav Papa and now Rav Huna separated, Rav Papa does not have to compensate Rav Huna for the fact that he ate more than him. Because as long as they were together, he was allowed to eat more. They could just now separate. Also, Rav Huna ate together with Ravina. Ad Ocher of Huna Bereid of Yeshua Chada, the time of Huna Bereid of Yeshua ate one portion, Ocher Ravina Tamnus, Ravina ate eight portions. Almost Rav Huna said, May Papi Vloy Chada Ravina, I'd rather have 100 Papas than that one Ravina, Ravina is worse than Rav Papa. So what's Pshat in the story that Rav Papa ate so much more than Rav Huna, and then Ravina ate so much more than Rav Papa even? So the Mishchus, Sefer Mishchus Aaron explains that Rav Papa was really trying to understand, the Sefer Stei Yitzchak explains that Rav Papa was really trying to understand the shailas, the questions that we've been discussing today. Can one be forced to separate or not? He was trying to understand from Rav Huna what the halacha was. And that's why Rav Papa specifically ate so much more than Rav Huna, and Rav Huna would tell him we could separate, so Rav Papa would now know what the halacha is. Rav Huna obviously did not understand that that was Rav Papa's intention. So now Rav Huna went and ate with Ravina. But Ravina did not want that Rav Huna should have the wrong impression of Rav Papa. So he ate even more. So Rav Huna should realize it's not just that these people who are great Amoraim are eating such large meals, it's that they're trying to understand the halacha, and Rav Huna should not have the wrong understanding of who Rav Papa was. Another pshat that Mefarshim give is Rav Huna did not eat, and the way they wanted to get Rav Huna to agree to eat more was that they should give him that if Rav Papa will eat with Rav Huna, he'll eat a lot. He'll give him the desire to eat more. Rav Huna obviously did not understand that. He understood rather that Rav Papa was greedy. Ravina did not want Rav Huna to have this wrong impression of Rav Papa. I think that Rav Papa was just a gluttonous individual. He wanted him to understand that what he was really doing was for Rav Huna's welfare, to get him to eat, and that's why he ate even more, which Rav Huna would then start to understand what the intention of these Amoraim were. The Sfas Emes says that from this story that we see with Rav Papa and Rav Huna, we can answer another Shaila. In the previous Gemaras, we've been discussing what is the din when you have one greedy person and the rest of the group is not greedy, could that greedy person be separated? What will be the halacha, asked the Sfas Emes, if the group is half and half? Half the group is greedy and half the group is non-greedy. What will be the halacha? Says the Sfas Emes, from here we see that half and half has the same din like one greedy person. Because Rav Papa and Rav Huna was half and half. And still Rav Huna told Rav Papa, I could force you to separate. So we see that the status of half and half is the same as one greedy person amongst a group of non-greedy people.